Since the dawn of time, man has competed and relaxed. But with that comes responsibility. We go behind the pageantry and ceremony to examine these modern warriors and relaxers to bring you the real story.
From East Hollywood, the investigative capital of the world, this is UCB Sports
and Leisure.
One of the biggest dreams of my life happened in real life, Matt. And to you too. We went to Canton,
Ohio to see the real NFL or the National Football League Hall of Fame.
Yeah, we went to the Hall of Fame. And like this podcast, we do a lot of bits. We meet a lot of celebrities that are sort of fake celebrities on here. We goof around. We do we pretend. But this is actually something that really happened. This is not a joke. We actually got to interview Jim McMahon, who is at the NFL Hall of Fame in honor of the 1985 Bears documentary that Matt.
Yes.
You want to promote your movie? The movie that
there's a movie.
You're a producer and a starring actor on it, right?
No, I'm not. I do a voiceover. There's a movie called 85, Greatest Team in Football History. And he was there because he was on the 85 Bears.
And like Matt and I both grew up in Chicago. Yeah. And so
it was
really fun. So as just rabid Bears fans and just sports fans and fans of cool people that are famous, it was fun to hang with Jim McMahon.
Very interesting, very nutty, big marijuana advocate.
As you'll hear.
And great guy. Had a really fun time hanging out with
But somehow we were treated as actual journalists at the Hall of Fame. And
my highlight was, because I'm like you, I'm a diehard Bear fan, he put the Pete Rozelle bandana on...
Mike Ditka.
No, the commissioner's...
Oh, the commissioner's bust.
Pete Rozelle's bust.
Yeah.
Because he had written back in the day Rozelle on his headband, and that was the only one he never got fined for. So he was recreating history, and I literally felt like, I feel like this is history. This is crazy, because he'd never been to the Hall of Fame before.
Yeah, this is the first time he's ever been to the Hall of Fame, because he hasn't gotten in
himself.
So
he's funny and stupid. He's like, somebody get a headband. I'm like, get him a headband. Come on, it's Jim McMahon. He's like, I might write it and put it on. I'm like, let me know when you do it. I'll film it. I thought it was so cool he did that.
Are we putting that on the website, Zig? I'm looking at Zig right now, our producer. All right, that's going up on the website. Check out that picture.
It's on Twitter somewhere. I put it out there on Twitter already.
Anyway, so what you're about to hear is us actually talking about football for real with a real legend, Jim McMahon.
Yeah. So, hi, everybody. We are live from the Canton Football Hall of Fame. I'm Matt Walsh.
I'm Scott Armstrong.
Today, we are honored with the guest of Jim McMahon. Jim, welcome to Sports and Leisure, UCB Sports and Leisure.
My pleasure to be here, guys.
It's a huge podcast. I'm sure you've heard of it. We probably have 5,000 listeners
show.
A week.
Big fan of the show.
And throughout the show, we may pepper you with questions to test your ability and knowledge. And at the end, if you answer enough correctly, you will win a free signature from Scott and I, an autograph.
We give autographs.
We will leave your outgoing voicemail. So that's kind of what you're competing for.
Fairly
valuable.
In a large, extra large pizza.
And an extra large from Lou Malnati's. We'll send it to your home.
You can share it with your friends.
All right, I'll start with straight up trivia, Jim. Name these three famous golf course holes where they're from. Amen Corner, the Bear Trap, Horrible Horseshoe.
Well, Amen Corner is Augusta.
All right.
See?
Good enough.
What was the other one?
That's good enough for a pizza.
That's good enough. No, that's just one question,
oh, sorry.
Scott. That's
I didn't
just
know
one
the rules.
Question.
I have a pizza right here.
I don't know. The Bear Trap's that's in Florida, isn't it?
I think so. Next one. Which of these men are not a sports trophy? Are not a sports trophy? Larry O'Brien, Vince Lombardi, or Milton Bradley?
He's got to be old Uncle Milty.
Milty, very good. All right, you're doing great. Did you go to the White House for the later reception? How was that?
Well, it was the shuttle. Yeah. It was the shuttle blew up, right?
Right.
Yeah.
How was that fun?
I'd gone with the Packers before I went with the Bears.
So you got a ring with the Packers.
And you wore the Bears jersey?
I wore my Bears jersey.
Yeah.
Fucking Bill Clinton. He's like, why are you wearing that? I go, well, we didn't get to come when we won the Super Bowl.
Why not?
I said, well, that space shuttle blew up. Remember that?
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
So I'd already done that whole, White House tour and shit. So when the Bears go, we're sitting out in the... They got a bar set up and
this is with Obama.
Tables for lunch.
Yeah.
So then they were going to take everybody on the tour. I'm like, fuck that, let's open the bar. And they said, no, not till the tour's over. You guys got to go on. I said, no, I've already done that. So I look at Dick, and I go, dude, get the fucking bar open. He says, yeah, let's get this open. So him and I, we just sat there and drank for an hour
while the guys were touring.
Did the tour. I kept telling the Secret Service guys, hey, man, let me in the Lincoln bedroom for 10 minutes. He's like, no, you can't go in there. And then I said, well, let me up on the roof. I said, I heard Willie Nelson smoked a joint up there. I want to do it too. No, you can't go up there.
That's funny. Have you been to this Hall of Fame before?
Never have.
For real?
Oh, really? Never been here?
Never been here. It's quite a place. I didn't really want to come if I ever got in.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Yes, a lot of my friends are here. A lot of guys I played with, and so far so good. I got to see a little video earlier.
Yeah.
And then looking forward to kind of walking around and seeing some busts, maybe stick a headband on Roselle or something.
Put a headband on his bust. There you go.
I wanted to ask you recently, Roger Goodell got a raise. Do you have an opinion about that?
I got a few opinions about
that. Love it.
But he's signed for $50 million.
And a jet for life.
Yeah. Jet for life.
And insurance for his whole family. Meanwhile, guys like me are struggling to get their own insurance. And it's too bad.
So the players' union insurance doesn't carry you guys?
Oh, no.
Forever?
Once you're covered for 2 years after you retire, then you're on your own.
Is that right?
I went 10 years without insurance because it was just way too much. Every part of me is excluded. So
right.
I couldn't even get insurance for 10 years.
Really?
They said if I go 10 years without a surgery, I can get insurance again. But I'm still paying through the nose.
I feel like if you play football, you should just have insurance for
life. Well, that'd be the easiest thing for them to do, keep those guys on their insurance thing. Uh-huh. Because, you know, it doesn't cost them anymore.
Yeah.
And it would eliminate a lot of these guys' problems with, you know, a lot of painkillers these guys are going through. You've seen a lot of guys, you know, suicides, and that's a lot of that is because of the painkillers.
Well, talk about painkillers. Marijuana has been proven to be an excellent way to treat pain, inflammation. It's less addictive. It's cost-effective. It's eco-friendly. Do you have any?
It's easier on your body.
It's
too.
Easier on your body.
We're supposed to be using this plant. We have an endocannabinoid system in our bodies. Why is that there if we're not supposed to be using this plant?
Meaning we're built with something that metabolizes.
Correct.
Marijuana.
We have
effectively.
Receptors in our brains for this plant.
Yeah.
And it does wonders. I mean,
right.
it's I've been using it. I've been enjoying it for 44 years.
Yeah.
Long before they said it was legal.
And, yeah. It's legal now where you live, right?
And we were just talking. I speak with a Harvard-trained doctor, Dr. Uma, at these cannabis conventions. And she says it's the best thing on the planet for everybody. Everybody should be using some form of this, either the CBDs or the THC, whatever your pain level is. But we have a system in our bodies for it. We're supposed to be using it. And
especially with the way they can administer. You can do a vapor. You can do an edible.
Like, there's so many different ways to.
No one's gotten lung cancer from
smoking
joints.
Nobody's ever died from it.
Yeah.
You cannot overdose from cannabis.
Yeah.
You get to a point, you can only get so high. You can't get any higher.
Yeah.
No matter how much you smoke.
As opposed to the pills, which are really dangerous.
And nobody gets in a bar fight from smoking too much weed. People
exactly.
tend to be very loving when they're super high.
But what's crazy is you're supposedly not able to own a weapon if you have a cannabis card, which is...
Is that right in Arizona?
Meanwhile, you know, any place, I think.
Really?
I feel like you've always been ahead of the game as far as, like, alternative medicine. Like, there was always, like, controversy. I remember way back in the 80s when you were doing...
Acupuncture.
Yeah, acupuncture and all that stuff.
I will try anything to, you know, to relieve the pain. I mean, it's a brutal game, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's hard to recuperate after Sunday game. You know, you practice again on Wednesday, but by then you're still not ready to go. I mean, sometimes it takes me a whole week to get over the pain. And sometimes I took more needles and more pain pills than I should have.
And is the week that you were practicing, that was full contact back then.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
Like nowadays, it's a little more player friendly.
Yeah, Buddy Ryan and Mike Dicka didn't like each other. So they took it out on us.
Yeah.
Now, we were in pads Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Every section of practice was live. The defensive guys would yell at Buddy, hey, they're cutting us. Buddy go, did they cut you in the game? Yeah. Deal with it.
Yeah.
That was his answer to everything. Deal with it. Sundays were easy for us because Wednesday through Friday we played three games a week. Wednesday through Friday were
and
games.
And you were playing against basically the best defense of all time. So you were ready for
so
Sunday.
So we were, Yeah, we were a very physical team.
You know what you were so great at when I was such a huge fan of yours, like watching you play the sport, is you were so good at reading defenses. What was the trick to that? Like, why were you able to sort of decode things at the line of scrimmage? So
I had great coaches in college. They taught me all about, you know, defense and where people line up, you know. A lot of teams, they would incorporate their coverage with their fronts. So if you had an even front, you're going to get this coverage or this coverage. Wasn't that difficult? Mm-hmm. And to me, I always would look at the safeties. Where are they at? That's where they're called safeties. They're supposed to be protecting everybody else. And if they're up there too close to the line of scrimmage, you know something's up.
Yeah.
And if you see, you know, the same look, and all of a sudden it's a different look, that should alert you. You know, and to me, it was never that difficult because I would say, all right, I got to find the one guy that's not blocked. The defense can send one more than you can block. Mm-hmm. And if you know who that guy is, it's like shooting fish in a barrel. I mean, theoretically, everybody's got a hat on a hat, they call it, right? This guy's this guy. And you have to find out who's the guy that's not blocked. And it's very simple, by the way, they line up. If the guy that's not blocked is 10 yards deep, you don't even care. Let him blitz from back.
Did you guys have headsets? Could you hear?
Oh, yeah.
You had headsets? Okay, yeah. Because I feel like you...
I would hear a lot of things in my head.
Yeah, you're always changing plays. You're so good at like...
Well, as I was walking to the line of scrimmage,
yeah.
They're supposed to cut that thing off at like 10 or 15 seconds before the snap, right?
Uh-huh.
But a lot of times they leave it on too long, and Mike could be MFing me in my ear the whole time because
you can't talk back.
He knew I didn't call what he had just sent in. So, yeah, I had a lot of headaches after games and screaming in my ear.
And how do you resolve that? Is it just results? Like, obviously, disregarding.
If it works, what can you do?
What's he gonna say?
And if it doesn't, I'll say, hey, my fault.
Did he accept that? Because
he would. I remember my rookie year, he'd send in tight ends with plays every time.
Uh-huh.
And he sent in this one guy, I remember. And from the 20 yards he went from the sideline to the huddle, he forgot to play. So I said, what's the play? He goes, oh, shit, I forgot. So I didn't want to burn a timeout. I just called a play, right?
Yeah.
Second down, whatever. So I called a play, and all of a sudden, Dicka burns a timeout. He starts yelling at me. And he says, what the hell play did I send in here? Well, I don't know. Ask Fish. He forgot it. So early on, I was like, I don't really need this.
You know? Yeah.
I'd rather call every play from the line of scrimmage. It'd be very simple. Walk up and see where they're lined up, like they're kind of do nowadays with the spread offenses. I mean, that's what I did in college. You spread them out, then now you know what's going on. Because if the guys are creeping, that guy's coming. So you tell the back, you get him. Pretty simple stuff.
Did you ever consider being an offensive coordinator? Because you were so good at it.
You can't teach instincts.
Uh-huh.
And you have to have that kind of, like I said, to me it was never that hard. So to try to coach somebody how to do that.
Just get frustrated.
I don't have the patience for that.
Interesting.
You only should have to tell them once or twice, you know?
Yeah.
But when you start doing it over and over again, you're like, I can't do this.
Right.
So I don't. I didn't even coach my kids when they were growing up. I'd coach them at home, but I said, I'm not going to go deal with the other parents because they're a pain in the ass. So I would go to my kids' game. I'd sit way away from everybody else because I didn't want to hear all that.
Yeah.
I just want to watch the game.
I wanted to bring up real quick because we're going to wrap up in a second. Renegades, you're doing a show in Vegas.
Yes.
Cleopatra's Barge. We want to promote it because we have a lot of fans of Bears and comedy as well. I'm assuming you'll be funny. Anything to say about that show you're doing?
I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be four nights a week for 3 months. Jose Canseco and Terrell Owens will be with me. And
and the idea is you're each going to do a one-man show for a half hour something like that?
When I was with the producers in Vegas, we went over the show and what we're going to do. He said, we're all going to start out in the green room, which is going to be open to everybody in Cleopatra's Barge. And then one of us will come out at a time, I think do 20, 25 minutes, Q&A, whatever. And then we'll all three come out at the end of the show and do a Q&A with the whole crowd. So I think the show will last an hour and a half a night.
Yeah. Do you think you're just winging it, or do you think you'll have a couple stories to lean on when you get ready to go?
Well, they want the stories that haven't been told, so there's going to be a lot of stuff that hasn't been out there.
Yeah,
and, I'm coming.
Should be kind of fun.
We're definitely going.
Yeah, we're definitely going. You probably watch Mitch Trubisky play, obviously. Like, and when it seems like you were so good at rolling out and throwing on the run, and he's also he similarly like seems to be at an advantage when he rolls out of the pocket and throws. Like, what's the why are some quarterbacks better at that than others, do you think? Or why were you able to, like, throw on the run so well?
I read a lot of practice.
Yeah?
You get a lot of guys chasing you.
Yeah, it seems like...
Well,
when I first got to
Chicago, the O-line was not that good, so I was running a lot.
Yeah.
But I've always been able to, you know, throw the ball and move it. And I've seen a little bit of him play. I don't watch a lot of football.
Yeah, yeah.
And somebody, I was going to do a radio interview about him, so I watched a 30-second clip, I think, of his first five throws in the NFL. And I said, well, it looks, you know, from what I just saw, I said, looks like he makes quick decisions, gets rid of the ball quick, and that's basically all you need to do, other than put it on him.
It bodes well. All right, well, thank you so much.
Hey, guys, thank you for having me.
Best interview today.
Look forward to the next one.
Yes, sir.
All right, thanks.
Okay. Thanks, guys.
Congrats.
Big fan of Jim McMahon, Scott.
Jim McMahon more now than I did when I was 15, rooting for the Bears.
Yeah. He wants to be on Veep. He's like, tell Veep I want to be on your show. I'm like, I will.
Really?
Yeah.
All right. Is that how it works? You just cast football players like that?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't do that.
Did you get a ride to the airport with Jim McMahon?
I did not get a ride to the airport.
He offered you one, though?
He did offer me one, and then it turned out he was leaving a different day.
Oh, okay. All right.
But his... I've been in email touch with his son, Zach.
Okay.
So I know a famous person. It's kind of cool.
All right.
I mean, Zach is medium famous, and his father's more famous.
One of the legends of Chicago sports history.
I want to thank people for listening to our serious episode, and also thank Cody Ziegler for being our producer.
Yep. And please follow us on Twitter, at UCBSL, and you can follow me, at ScottArmstrong22.
Yep.
And Mr. Matt Walsh, right? You're Mr. Matt Walsh.
Mr. Matt Walsh on Twitter. Peace.
All right, peace. See you leisure.
This has been a UCB Comedy production. Check out our other shows on the UCB Comedy Podcast Network.